Do we have any eggs left?
Let me check. Ugh. Sorry. No dice. I think we used the last one this morning. Oh, where are you going?
Well, the recipe calls for eggs, so I'll just run to the corner store and grab a carton.
I don't know. Look at those storm clouds rolling in. It really looks dicey out there.
Eh, if it rains, it rains. I'll just roll with it.
Are you sure? I think it's calling for a lot of rain. Why don't you take a rain jacket?
Nah, I'll be quick. I'll just roll the dice.
Oh, okay. Oh, she must have rolled a one.
Hi, I'm Jaina.
And I'm Sharon.
And together, we're Jasses Be Gantsy.
Moving you from antsy to Gantsy.
And today, they see me rolling.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
What?
I was going to say that, but then I learned that that's actually quite choogy.
I have no idea what that means.
That's what the Gen Zers are seeing now. Okay. Actually, me seeing choogy is probably super chew as well.
I still don't know what that means.
It just means cringe. I don't know why they keep reinventing
words. Why is it cringe?
Words. Because we're millennials and we're old. And whether we use Gen Z lingo or not, we're still similarly cringe. I feel like the new generation, like every new generation is just naturally ageist.
Yeah, fair enough. Is it cringe to play Rollin' Rights?
I don't think so. I think that's a pretty classic thing.
So I really like Rollin' Rights.
Yeah, Rollin' Rights are bussin'. Wow, the collective cringe.
You know, I'm not even going to ask.
It means it's very good, I think. But also me seeing it makes it very chew.
No, I'm out. Rollin' Rights. I understand Rollin' Rights. Yeah. I'm going to talk about those instead.
Fact. Also a Gen Z lingo. No, I learned a lot today.
Pretty sure my dad says that.
Oh, maybe the old is new and new is old again.
Oh, yeah, I did see a rotary phone in the store the other day, so.
Okay, well, apparently, if you're agreeing, you just say facts.
Nice, I can do that one.
Yeah, nice isn't a part of, I don't know.
Okay, continue. Rollin' Rights, games.
We are Rollin' Rights?
We are a gaming podcast.
We are a gaming podcast. Rollin' Rights, on the other hand, is just a classic that I'd even go so far as to say that it's what's the word about classic games that never fade? It's always a classic. It's always in vogue.
What?
Isn't there a saying?
I got nothing. We're nailing this podcast today. So let's talk about our games. It's been over a year now since we've talked about our favorite Rollin' Rights games. And turns out we really like Rollin' Rights games because we have played a bunch more since then. So today we're here to talk about our top five Rollin' Rights games. And as per the usual, we've each done our own list and not shared it.
So timeless classic! Rollin' Rights are a timeless classic. Is that what it is?
That I think so. Sounds like that could be right.
All right. Sorry, you were saying?
Yeah. Our lists.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Number five. We'll each do our number five to number one.
And these are the games that are completely new to us that we haven't played before. So the rankings of our previous podcasts, those games aren't in the mix.
Yes. So these are only games we've played since we recorded our last podcast.
Okay. I had a really tough time. We apparently played a lot of different Rollin' Rights or Flippin' Rights.
We have. And I think I left some of the solo ones off of there. So we had a good list.
You had 14 on this list and I had to rank it. And I think, it's really hard. I've ranked six.
Okay. Do you have an honorable mention? Yes.
Yeah, I guess that would be six.
Okay. Right? Let's talk honorable mentions first.
Okay. So honorable mentions for me is Dinosaur Island.
Oh.
I actually really quite enjoyed the implementation of the Rollin' Rights. Some people have said that, you know, it's so similar to Duelosaur Island.
Really?
Well, or the mechanics of it.
I think you've said this before.
I keep hearing it. People have been saying, who are these people? I don't know.
I was just about to ask.
I don't know who these people are, but somehow I have come to know that people have compared the Roland Wright as really almost a replacement to Dulasaur Island, that it's, they feel that it's similar enough. Or maybe that people was you. I think
the people is me.
Well, I think the people, aka you, is wrong, because I think those are two very different experiences in games. Like, of course, some of the iconography is similar and the general feel of it is similar, but I really quite enjoyed the Roland Wright of it. It's a little bit more maybe complicated in the sense that there's more things that you have to manage with it. And that's probably a feature that, for me at least, docks off points, simply because when I'm up for a roll and write, I'm generally in the mood for something that's maybe a little bit more simple and elegant and not too overly complicated, unless it really makes sense and it's a game of its own. With Dinosaur Island, it's, again, a very, very nice game. It reminds me of the best of Dulasaur Island, the game that we've played.
I think, to be fair, you've only gotten to play the Roland Wright Dinosaur Island once.
No, I played it 2-3 times.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I played 2-3 times. And yeah, and I really quite enjoyed it. I had a tough time not putting it in my top 5.
Okay.
And so I, especially for the 5th spot, so I will do some more explanation on that number 5.
Okay.
You have to explain the game.
Well, you know what?
It's a roll and write.
It's going to appear later on.
Oh.
So I will save that for then.
All right.
So my honorable mention. And yeah, this was tough. I had a couple, but I think the other one's going to show up on your list. So mine is Welcome to the Moon.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it is on my list.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so yeah, Welcome to was one of our favorites from last year.
Yeah.
I think it might have been number 2, if I remember correctly. And Welcome to the Moon is just more of that same goodness. Why it's an honorable mention for me, we've played it, I think maybe a couple of times, and I really enjoyed both of our plays, but you do have to learn new rules every time you play. Because it takes the basis of Welcome to, which is basically you're flipping 3 cards every round, and then those kind of create sets of 2 cards, because you have 3 different decks, and you're getting a number matched with like an icon that will let you take an action. You have to put that number down in a spot. In Welcome to, you're labeling a house. In Welcome to the Moon, it depends on which mission you're playing, because it can be played as a campaign and kind of a story campaign over a series of missions. And how well you do or who wins can actually change a little bit the outcome of your mission and what cards might get included on your next one, etc.
I think the convolution of it makes sense, in the sense that, you know, you having to learn something a little different makes sense, seeing that they've designed this particular roll and write with kind of a story in mind, and it's almost a campaign game.
You know? Yeah, and you don't have to play it that way. You can just play one of the missions, you know, just on its own. Mm-hmm. But we started going through the campaign, and I think we'll have to find some time to sit down and finish, because it does take a little bit of time to figure out. Like, each one's a little story. Like, you know, initially you're having to launch your rockets to get to the moon. Then you're navigating there. So it's kind of like each step of this moon mission has its own game with slightly, you know, different rules and kind of variations on that theme. But I really enjoy it. Welcome to is just such a timeless classic.
Thank you.
And I think Welcome to the Moon.
I searched it up.
Excellent. Yes, good. Mm. Welcome to the Moon is just more of that goodness.
Yeah.
And you get dry erase boards with that one.
Oh. Yeah, I think I quite enjoyed it. It's very different in my mind to Welcome to. I mean, yeah. There are certain things. Yeah, certain things kind of tie into the original game. But yeah, it's pretty much a game of its own. And I think for me, I docked points off of Welcome to the Moon because you have to learn something new every time. Curious, though, if I know the rules in and out, whether I would rank it higher.
It might be one that we just have to sit down and play a bunch.
Okay. Well, all right. What's your number 5?
Okay. My number 5 is Isle of Cats.
Explore and draw.
Okay, that's on my list too. Interesting.
All right. Okay. Okay. So this one, I actually won at GobFest last year.
Woo!
And I'm so glad we have it. Because we have the full Isle of Cats, but we almost never play it because it just seems like so much setup. You gotta, it's not really, but you gotta pull everything out, shuffling a whole bunch of cards, you're drafting hands, passing back and forth, and it just takes longer than we sometimes have the energy for. The explore and draw, however, so much faster. I mean, you still have a bunch of cards, and it really is well and truly multiplayer solitaire. Because you basically set out a grid of cards that are available, and each round you're choosing a column of cards. I think you're choosing a column of cards, and you're going to have to, most of them are cats. So you have to then draw those cats onto your boat. Sometimes there'll be a lesson card in there. You've still got the Oshaks, all those. It's very, very similar, but it eliminates basically the resource management with the fish, and it eliminates the card drafting, you know, by passing your hands back and forth. But it doesn't matter. Everyone can pick the same column. There's literally zero interaction. It's a heads down, let's draw these cats on the boat type game.
It's a diet Isle of Cats.
Mm-hmm.
It really truly is. The game is so well translated into that roll and write that sometimes I even prefer the roll and write.
Yeah.
Version of it.
And the Roland Wright's really nice solo too. They have an Automa that's, you know, quite challenging.
Yeah.
I think I've only won it once and I played it a few times.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, if I have to pitch the Isle of Cats, the Roland Wright version versus Isle of Cats, the game, Isle of Cats is a little better.
The game. I would agree.
However, if you factor in the getting the game to the table factor, Isle of Cats Roll and Write, it's right up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love Isle of Cats, so being able to have the diet version of it is just freaking fantastic.
And it's still, you get that same vibe from it. It still feels absolutely impossible to fill your boat, and you're still struggling. What do you want to focus on? I think lessons.
Still trying to cover the mice, still trying to put the same color cats over the treasure map trigger to get treasures. So all
you still
of
got
the
common treasures, rare That's treasure. Right. Like, yeah, those intricacies are almost identical.
Yeah.
Just with a few little tweaks.
Yeah.
And the markers are really nice. It comes with really nice markers. So you've got a marker for each cat color. Now, they try to do color, make it colorblind friendly by showing each cat has a different type of marking on their tail. In practice, I really don't know how well it would work.
Yeah, I could see that.
It's also a little bit of a pain because in the physical version, you can pick up the polyomino piece and see how it's going to fit in your board. Whereas in this version, they're just drawn on cards and then you have to draw it and you can still rotate and mirror. So we do a lot of picking up the card and holding it and counting and a lot of like little mental rotations trying to figure out how it would fit.
It's a good little working memory workout.
It's a good
it's
for
a 2-in-1.
Strengthening your spatial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Solid
spatial
pick.
Brain.
It's high on my list.
Oh, I didn't think you were so.
I wasn't sure. Of all the new games, new roll and writes that we've had. Okay, so my number five, I'm curious if this is on your list. My number five is Woodcraft.
You know what? That is my number four.
Oh, is that right? Okay, so Woodcraft, I struggled.
And this is the Woodcraft Roll and Write, to be specific. It is available as a free print and play from the publishers of Woodcraft. The files are on BoardGameGeek. So you can just hop over there and download them for free. They're not the best print and play files layout-wise. It was a little fiddly, but not too bad. There's not a ton that you have to make. So very doable.
Yeah, so, you know, similar problems with Dinosaur Island in terms of it being just so much more and complex.
Yes.
But I put Woodcraft as number five because Woodcraft, the game itself, is very, it's a heavier, more complex, more thinky game.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think taking that into consideration, the way that they were able to condense that heft of a game into the form of a roll and write was just very impressive compared to, say, Dinosaur Island, changing it into a roll and write that seems like a
slightly less impressive feat. I always find that it's because you're essentially just compressing the game. And so the more complex it is, the bigger the file. So anyways, I did quite enjoy Woodcraft. It's not the type of Woodcraft Roll and Write's not the type of game that I generally gravitate towards when I'm in the mood for a Roll and Write, simply because it's surprisingly thinky.
It doesn't feel like a Roll and Write.
It really doesn't feel like a Roll and Write. It takes the form of a Roll and Write, but you're sitting there and you're thinking really hard and you're trying to min-max things quite a bit and doing these little internal conversions and stuff in your brain to make things work well. So I feel like it's a, it's disguised as a Roll and Write, but truly it's not, if that even makes sense. Like, it uses dice, you have to roll the dice, and then you have to write stuff, but it's not the classic Roll and Write feel.
Yep.
Because it really is a heavier game packed into something that seems a lot lighter.
Now, that said, we haven't actually played Woodcraft, so we're guessing a little bit. But mechanisms-wise, like how it works, you do need a ton of dice to play this, especially if you're going to play it with more than one or two people. But you're basically, you've got light dice and dark dice representing different types of wood. So I think in the full game, there's three different types of wood, and this only has two. So it's a little simpler there. And you're going to roll those, and depending on what numbers they roll, you just put them out on this little, it's not a path, but it's kind of a path, basically, from the highest value die to the lowest one. And then you take turns drafting. And as you draft the dice, that die you take is going to give you some resources along with it. Usually the farther to the right, the more resources you're getting, because the higher value dice kind of give you more benefit. And like in Woodcraft, you can split those dice, recombine them, and you're trying to make basically the same thing in the base game. There's cute toys, board games, furniture, everything you can imagine. You can hire helpers with the blueberries. So from what I've heard of the original Woodcraft, it's very similar, like very similar vibes. You're doing a lot of the same things, just in a much smaller box. And I think probably much faster and maybe slightly less thinky, but still pretty thinky. And it plays solo quite well too. I played it solo a few times since we played. Okay. And it's hard. Okay. Yeah, it's good.
What's your number five? Wait, did you talk about
that? That was my number four. So why don't we do your number, or should I do my number three?
Did you do your number five already? What was your number five?
Isle of Cats. Oh, okay. And then Woodcraft was your five and my four.
Okay.
Oh, no, so we have to do your four.
I would do my four. Okay, so my four is, I think, your honorable mention, which is Welcome to the Moon.
Really?
Yes. And, like, you're right. You're surprised because it didn't seem like I enjoyed it all that much.
Yeah, because I suggested playing it a few times recently and you were like, nah.
Yeah, well, like part of it, it's because I'm just so bogged down at work and I just don't have the bandwidth.
Oh, yes, I understand. I see.
The bandwidth to learn a new game. Some games are worth learning because you get such a deep dive into a new game. With Welcome to the Moon, it's a roll and write, and I just don't feel like learning a set of new rules for a roll and write.
Okay.
It is a number four because I love Welcome to overall. I think objectively this is a really good game in terms of the intentionality of them crafting the storyline, making it a campaign game, and making all of those, there's a sort of a progression with each puzzle as you play it. So there's always a new factor that comes into play as you're playing each chapter. So objectively, I know this is a good roll and write. So I'm trying to be a good ranker. So
taking very rank, yes.
All of those, oh my gosh, taking all of those things into consideration, I have put Welcome to the Moon as my number four.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was not expecting that.
No, it's like, do I want to play it now? No. But do I think it's a good game? Yeah.
All right.
It's more of a me problem, right? It's not like, yeah, everyone listening to this podcast isn't as jaded and burnt out as I am, hopefully.
Fair enough.
So, fair warning, if you are jaded and burned out this season, maybe don't
try Welcome to the Moon. If you just want something that's, you know, you learn it once and then you just coast and do that nice roll and write, Welcome to the Moon is probably not the game for you, because you will be required to learn new stuff and to figure out new ways to play the game every time you progress.
Okay. Yeah. I have a really bad feeling as we keep going, our lists are just going to overlap.
Probably.
But we'll just carry on.
So that's number four.
Yeah. So my number three?
Yes.
Ah, I love it. My number three is Three Sisters. Get it? Because it's like three and then there's three in the title. Yeah,
very funny. Very smart. Okay. That's also on my list.
Yeah, I figured. I figured. Yep. So Three Sisters is kind of the follow-up game to Fleet the Dice Game. And in Three Sisters, you are taking on the role of a farmer using the indigenous method of planting beans alongside corn so that the beans can climb up, use the corn stalks to climb up. And then there's pumpkins around the field. I don't remember why. Is there some fertilizing thing going on? I have no idea.
Yeah, maybe it fixes nitrogen to the soil or something.
I probably should have read the, like, because they have a background in the rule book and I was bad and didn't read it. But yeah, it, I think, takes Fleet the Dice Game, makes it a teensy bit more complex. There's a few more things going on. I feel like there's more strategies you can hit. Because in Fleet, you're going to be doing a little bit of everything. Like, there might be one or two things you don't really do. But in Three Sisters, you can really just fully ignore one area. Like, it's quite common for us to just completely ignore the apiary. Because, of course, you can raise bees. Whereas in our last game, I chose, you know, I was like, whoa, I haven't really explored the apiary before. I'm going to go hard on the apiary and ignore. I didn't do as much gardening. Mm. Like, I didn't plant as many beans and corn. And every area is its own little mini game almost. So the pumpkins, you're wanting to connect a full, basically, you want to just connect a line of completed pumpkins because then you're getting bonuses between them. And you want to, on your beans and corn, is more like the fish. You kind of start off, and once they grow, you're going to get victory points. You have flowers along the bottom, and the different types of flowers give you different types of bonuses. And then if you get to the top, you're getting victory points. Your apiary kind of starts off the same at the bottom, and then you can branch different directions with it to either, you know, get straight victory points or get some bonuses and some victory points. Split it out. You also have an orchard, where you're growing all sorts of different fruit, and they all work slightly differently. Then you thought I was done. No, there's a shed, and the shed kind of gives you, I guess it's most similar to like the harbor and fish market. It gives you tools you can use that kind of change the rules for you a little bit and give you a little boost or, you know, maybe some sort of end game scoring. And on top of that, it adds on a little board with a rondelle. So you're rolling a set of dice. You're going to lay them out in order from lowest to highest, or highest to lowest. I do not remember. You move the little pawn, and then depending where you draft from your die from gives you an extra action. Basically, it tells you what action you're going to get to take that round. You're always planting, and then you'll get another action too. Maybe it's another planting action. Maybe it's shed time, and you get to mark something in your shed. So there's a lot, I think, more going on with Three Sisters.
Hmm.
But you can hold your thoughts until it comes up on your list if you want.
I'll hold my thoughts. I also just realized that there was one game that I've been playing quite a bit that's not reflected in the long list of games we've played.
So. Next Station London.
Yes! How'd you know?
Because I realized I forgot to put it on there.
Oh!
Because it was BGA only, so when I was looking, I didn't see it.
Oh, I see. Yeah, well, since we're talking about Next Station London, I don't know exactly where to put it on my ratings or rankings as far as just playing it as often, the frequency of play. I've played Next Station London almost every day.
So you basically need to have some sort of train game on the go. Train roll and write, train themed roll and write on the go on Board Game Arena.
I think I'm just really into logistics. So yeah, travel, logistic, vehicular things. That's why I loved Fleet so much. That's why I love Next Station London. And that's why I love Railroad Inc.
Did you know that they have in Alpha the new one, Next Station Tokyo?
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah, that's exciting. We'll have to try that.
Okay, well, I do quite enjoy Next Station London. It's just a game that I feel like you can keep digging and trying to maximize the cards you flip up. Right, and one of the things that I really enjoy too, and I think this is a BGA exclusive, is that they have a daily, like a daily challenge if you play solo. So a lot of these games you want to play with, a lot of roll and writes, you want to play with someone else so that you, you know, it, so you win. But for the solo, for those that are competitive, like me, but also you don't have the time to find people to come together and play, playing solo on BGA is great because you always get the same cards that's being turned over. It's essentially the identical game. And whoever plays the best game gets ranked higher, and it's just fun to do it every day and try and see, you know, how well you fared compared to others.
I seem to recall you had a New Year's resolution.
I did.
How's that going for you?
Well, I wanted to get number one, but I've just always been getting number twos and threes, and now lately I've been getting, either I'm getting worse at the game or people are getting better at the game and I'm not improving. So
yeah, that is frustrating.
That is very frustrating. But it's just a mindful game that you can just keep playing again and again. And it's just nice connecting things together. It's like an advanced connect the dots.
Oh, yeah, it kind of is.
Yeah, yeah. So there's something to it. I think it's definitely an honorable mention. And if I had it on my list, it would likely have ranked on the top five.
Okay. Yeah. So that was kind of another bonus game for
it's
you.
Bonus game.
All right. I think you need to do your number three now.
Okay, my number three is definitely a hot take. I've only played it once, but I really enjoyed it, and it is Dice Hospital.
Ah, we finally have one that is not on my list.
Really?
It was my honorable mention until we realized that we had forgotten about a game. Oh. So it got kicked off of my list.
Okay. I really, really liked it. It might also have been influenced by my love of Dice Hospital, the game, as well as Dice Amusement Park.
Dice Theme Park.
Yeah. I just like the game. And so when it translated differently in a Roll and Write, like some of the symbology was similar. The theming, of course, was similar. It's really a very different game compared to, compared to Dice Hospital, I'd say.
So the full name is Dice Hospital Emergency Roll, I think. ER emergency roll, something like that. I've actually played it a couple more times.
Oh, really?
I ended up in a game, I think I was trying to put together an async group and ended up just with some randos. So I ended up playing a couple of times with them.
Oh, nice. Okay.
I like it more the more I play it. In emergency roll, you're rolling, it's very similar idea, but you're rolling some dice. You have, every player has the same game sheet, and they kind of have little rows of hexagons that are connecting together, and there's different ones. So basically your patient enters one of these rows, and once they enter that row, is like, you can't put a new die in that row. Well, you basically, you're starting to work to finish that row, and you have to start with, you want to start with the lowest value you can, because the next value that's adjacent to that one you previously put in has to be higher than the previous, can't even be the same number. It has to be higher. And so when you're drafting your die each round, there's going to be a bonus associated with it. So some of them will let you, basically you might be able to quarantine a die. So that means then you can reset and use whatever value you want for your next one. Or maybe you're going to get stethoscopes that I think let you change the numbers, like the values you can go up or down. There's also colors associated with it. So there's another mechanism, maybe it was the blood bags, I can't quite remember, that let you change the colors of the die. So yeah, it's very similar. It's really hard. Like, you can just get stuck with dice that you feel like you can't do anything with. So you really have to balance which bonuses you're taking with what you're going for. There's also some public goal cards out there that's a race to get them first. Like, it might be the first person to get 5 stethoscopes. And then, like in our games, it's like the first person gets 8 points, second gets 5 or something. So there is that little bit of interactive race element there. Yeah, it's solid. It's not, I don't know, it didn't quite make it onto one of my favorites because I find it a little bit stressful.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just found
the racing part of it?
Not the racing part. I
feel like you're biased because you really hate the hospital and ER.
Well, yeah. The theme isn't my favorite, but I find that
sometimes there's just so few choices. Like, everything feels bad. You're like, well, all of these are awful and I'm picking last, so I will be stuck with the most awful of these awful days.
Much like the state of our healthcare system these days.
But
just a game true to nature.
Yeah.
But okay. Yeah, fair enough. I really quite enjoyed it. And was there some tension in terms of, you know, racing and stuff? Yeah. But for me, that was a perk. That
made
things exciting.
I like that tension. I don't know. I still like it and I would happily play it more. And like I said, I think with my extra plays, I appreciated it more and I got a little better at it too, I think. So that's nice. It's one you can come back to and actually improve at. Which is always nice.
Okay. Have you revealed your number three?
Yes. So we're on to my number two.
All right.
My number two has been mentioned before.
Okay.
And that is Dinosaur Island Rarenrite.
Oh, number two.
I really like this.
How come we don't play it more often?
I think for the reasons you said, because it's that little extra rules hump and you have to set up cards and it's longer.
It does feel like whenever you're playing it, we're taking a kid's table mat out to play.
Yes. Yeah. That's art's not our favorite.
Well, and the size of it.
Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah. It takes up a fair amount of space for a roll and write. But I don't know. I've played it solo a few times before I taught it to you. And it's a really good puzzle. So, I mean, you're basically drawing out a dinosaur park, as you would imagine. And there's kind of a couple different phases to the game, if I remember correctly. And we haven't played it in a while, so bear with me. There is a dice drafting phase, and you get the actions with the dice, and then you get to trigger everything you built in your park and all your bonuses. So it can take a while, especially if someone is taking, like, the draw dinosaurs action. The other people are often just sitting there because it takes a while to figure out because there's lots of placement rules and you want to optimize because then you got to run people through your park and you don't want them to cross paths. You want them to see a bunch of different things. It's just, I want to play it right now.
Huh.
I really, really like it and it's been a while. It's just solid and it feels like there's lots of variety with the specialist cards. You can check off boxes to try and unlock those specialists that'll let you break the rules. You can try and unlock specific buildings that'll give you usually endgame scoring, something like that. You're doing rides and merchandise and food.
I just really enjoy it. It's a big game packed in a small-ish package, but it's not like Woodcraft in terms of it being just really heavy and dense.
Yeah, it's not quite as deeply thinking.
Yeah, and I like that. Like you're translating a 3-point something complexity game into a roll and write. And that's exactly how it translates. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit more thinky compared to like many of your conventional roll and writes, but it's not overly thinky to take you away from the feel of a role. I don't
disagree
with you with your ranking. For me, I think it would have either been a what was it, the recommended, the ones that's outside of the top five?
Oh, like an honorable mention.
Oh my gosh, my brain. It would have either been an honorable mention or in the top three, if that even makes sense. Like, I think for my top four and five, I put it down there because of like trying to be it, like for objective reasons.
No, that doesn't make sense at
all.
Okay,
that's great.
That's cool. That's cool, though.
Okay, so my number two is a game you've already mentioned. It's the Isle of Cats.
Ah.
It's just so very well done because it feels so true to the game itself. And I know I've been saying this for all of these games that's made my list today around, how great it's translating from the, you know, bigger box game to a roll and write, but Isle of Cats really did it well.
And it's a small box,
the
too.
The essence of it, right? Like, you know, it's the spatial, it's the cats, it's the covering of the rats, you know, filling in the gaps with treasures, making sure certain colors of cats stretch to trigger the treasure maps, making sure that you have a giant family of the same type of cats, figuring out how to put OSHA cats on that ship with its oddly shaped configurations. All of those things you get from the roll and write. Lessons,
I would say,
are trapped. And they, so it's not, maybe it's not woven in as well.
Yeah, that's the one thing that stands out, mm-hmm. because they can be really beneficial in the original game.
Yeah.
But here, I often previously have tried to, you know, at least include, you know, maybe three lessons. But you really suffer for not having cats. Like, yeah. you have to fill at least three of the five rooms.
Yeah. And so,
like, yeah, you can't have more than two empty or two rooms that aren't fully filled, which is then hard to do if you're taking lessons.
Right. And in the actual game that I play, Isle of Cats, not the Roland, right? That's generally how I like to play it anyways. I like to rescue as many cats as possible. And, you know, if I have a really good lesson, then yeah, sure, I'll invest in it. So for me, the essence of how I play and the game is pretty much similar to how I play in the roll and write version of the game.
Okay.
And I think I generally like spatial things too, and putting things together. Yeah. So that, you know, subjectively, I really enjoy it because of that.
Yeah.
Okay. I like cats. My Solid. Number two. What's your number two?
I did my number two.
You did your number two.
Yep.
Okay.
I think we switched order somewhere in the middle. That's fine. I have a feeling we're going to have the same number one.
No, I know it's not.
You know it's not.
I know it's not, because my number one, you've already mentioned.
How do you not have Raja's The Dice Charmers on your list?
Oh, I would have put it down, but it wasn't in the list that you gave me to choose from.
You know
from.
Why? So this is when we originally talked about this. I'd made my list, you'd made your list, and we realized we'd forgotten it. We adjusted our list and added it in, and then you lost your list.
Ah, in that case, that would be my number one.
Okay.
What I had put instead was Three Sisters.
Oh, yeah.
Again, great game. I think I prefer Fleet over Three Sisters. Yeah, it's a little bit more involved and all of those things, but I feel like the little bit more involved parts of it hurt the game when it's a head-to-head between Three Sisters and Fleet.
It's just not quite as elegant Fleet with the added finickiness of the board. And
you're right. So in my original list that I came up all by myself when my brain was still fully functional was definitely Raja's of the Ganges.
The Dice Charmers.
The Dice Charmers. It's just a game that we keep returning to again and again. It's super portable. It feels quite similar to the actual game as well.
And I think we've already done half an episode. Well, we did an episode comparing it to its big brother, so we won't spend too much time on it.
It's
a
great game.
Oh, we just keep, we bring it everywhere with us. We keep pulling it out. It's fast. It's still, you know, we've played it a fair number of times at this point. It's in our 10 by 10, and we still keep coming back.
And you know what? It's a racing type of game, so you don't have to figure out all your victory points and have all of that housekeeping.
Not a bunch of math at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's solid. I would highly recommend it to anyone. And it's cheap. It was like $20 Canadian. Yeah. And you can't do much better than that.
Yeah. I mean, some of the other games, I mean, these are not technically honorable mentions because they didn't make our honorable mentions list. But other games that are mentions are Lost Cities, Rustling
Leaves.
Oh, geez. What is it? Why does your L look like a C? Rustling Leaves, Imperial Settlers.
Which was a little meh for us. We kind of bounced off that one.
Imperial Settlers, right?
Yeah, I played it quite solo translate. And enjoyed it more. It's too finicky. It's really hard to keep track of resources in that one.
Mm-hmm. But I do I do like Lost Cities.
Mm-hmm.
And Rustling Leaves is fun too. But it's just not,
it's
just
relaxing. But it's not, it doesn't blow us away.
Call your mom about. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Twa the Dice Game is another good one that we just haven't. But you know, if it doesn't quite call me back.
Yeah, we haven't dug into it. And to be entirely frank, I don't even remember what it's like. Like, I know we've played it, but I have no idea
what the
game is.
Yep. Yeah. And those are our new some of our new favorite Roll and Writes. Please don't ask us to rank this compared to last year's list, because I would have a really hard time with that.
No, and honestly, if you tell us to re-rank this list of games, I'm quite confident that there will be a different sequence.
Yeah, this was really hard to rank them.
It was really hard.
Because we love Roland Wrights.
Yes.
And all of these are quite stellar Roland Wrights.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that it really depends on the type of gamer that you are, because that's likely going to significantly adjust the ranking system. So if you're more of a Jaina, or if you're more of a Sharon, you'll know which games you gravitate more towards.
I know what I was going to throw in at the end.
What were you going to throw
Some in? Roland Wrights that I'm still excited to play that we haven't played.
Oh, there you go.
There's a lot of them. So I'll rattle through this quickly. So My City has a roll and build, which we have played through the first chapter of the original on Board Game Arena. And I've heard the roll and write's really good, so I'm excited for that one. Kind of want to try Joan of Arc, which is an Orléans draw and write. We are probably the only people in the world who bounced off of Orléans with only one play. But, you know, if there's a roll and write version, I'm down. I want to try that. So Floor Plan was another roll and write that we bounced off of, but they now have a version called Winchester Mystery House.
Which would make it make so much more sense.
Because that house makes no sense. So I've heard. Haven't been there yet. But I don't know. So just the theming on that seems really fun. So we want to give that a try. Then there's Roll and Meow, the Cat Burglars, which I think was on Kickstarter. It's a print and play.
Okay.
And I've heard good things, and it's really cute and really pretty, so I'm excited to try that.
What's that game about? Cats doing
burgling
what?
Things.
Oh, cat burglars!
Yeah, oh my goodness!
Really they don't need to burgle. I'll give them all my stuff.
Okay.
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 Astra is up there. It's like about stars. I looked at a few reviews and I've forgotten everything, but it looks really pretty. Okay. And that's really just enough for me.
Okay.
And Fox Experiment coming out. This year, next year,
right?
It was on Kickstarter. I'm excited to see how that one does. And Yokohama has a roll in right now as well.
Oh no, you're kidding!
And that's one of our favorite kind of classic Euro games. So, I am there for that.
Okay.
Ah, Motor City, which is the next in the line after Fleet and Three Sisters.
Oh, is it?
With a completely different theme.
Oh,
but I've heard same it's developers. Really good. Yep, same designers. Okay. But I've heard it's really good. There's just so many of them, honestly. All of them. I literally want to play all of them. But those were some that sprang to mind. Yeah. And with that,
what are your thoughts?
I swear that we have done this before for quite a while now.
Listen, it's because we're going to go on vacation and it's a weeknight and my brain is not online.
And we need to pack.
So,
ironically, by the time you're listening to this, we will be back from that vacation. But
Is this our best? No. Do we strive for excellence?
No, we strive for mediocrity.
That's right.
We have established that.
That's right. So you're welcome, because we have met the mediocre... The mediocre threshold. You're welcome. And while you're reconsidering your subscription, or if this is the first time that you're listening to our
podcast. We're so sorry if this is your first episode.
Yeah, this does not reflect our usual excellent standard in podcasting.
Please go back and listen to our first Roll and Write episode if you haven't already.
Right. For those that are still with us, what are your thoughts? Do you agree with our ranking of this list? Are there other games, other Roll and Writes that you feel like really should
start playing? Please tell me what Roll and Writes to play. I will play all of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Roll and Writes. All of them.
Are our jam. So please let us know, and you can find us and let us know in all sorts of places, and you can find those links in our show notes.
Yes.
And while you're at it, please give us 5 stars.
Even if we only earned 3 this episode for our mediocrity.
Even though we've only earned 3.
If that.
2.5 stars.
2.5. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to end before this gets worse. So stay gancy.
Happy gaming. Just love it.